Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, everyone? This is Nothing Urgent. This is Derek Evers. We are missing one half of the crew today. Chris Robbins is on hiatus in Monaco, I believe. But we're here alone. I'm here alone, but not alone, with a room full of a lot of people. This is our biggest show to date. And we're kind of dubbing it the CMJ edition of Nothing Urgent, although I guess we would have these people on regardless of the reason. But I guess everyone, can you just all say hello at once?
Oh. Hey!
Yeah, we have nine people in here. We're joined by all of Hunters, members of Avlov, members of Speedy Ortiz, and members, you know, there's...
It's okay. With pizza in his mouth.
There's members, and then Dave and Dan of Exploding and Sound Records. So I guess I'm trying to think of how to. This is a large group of people. I'm trying to figure out how to begin this. Are you guys? I guess I'll just project this towards the room, and then whoever wants to answer can answer first. So, how excited are you for CMJ?
All right, let me group answer everyone at the same time. 1, 2, 3. 7 out of 10.
Yeah, right.
I'm waiting for the. Yeah, there's like. At that point, Joe is going to throw in some crickets, I think. And like, there's going to be a sample of crickets.
Oh, he's like the Fred Norris.
Very. I would say very. And it's, yeah.
So the other reason I have asked the specific. It's kind of funny. I was thinking about this on the way over here, and this is of no fault or consequence of anyone in the room. But no one here is playing any of the Impo shows, so it's kind of weird that. But I asked you guys here because you guys are all like doing a multitude of shows. You guys are kind of, I would say, the workhorses of CMJ this year. I know at the very least, Exploding in Sound / Speedy Ortiz, and then Hunters. I think Hunters are. You guys are you guys playing every day?
No,
except for Friday.
We're not playing on Friday.
Is that like a choice of a day off?
Or no, we actually we're playing a show in
Baltimore. Yeah. I was just the gentleman by the name of Dave Halstead, a publicist we were talking to earlier, is going to that as well.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. I wonder if they did
that line up so good.
Mm-hmm. I'm really
excited.
Yeah,
that'd be really fun.
Are you guys? I mean, you guys were from. I'm speaking to Hunters for everyone that doesn't know who I'm looking at. Now, you guys are originally from Brooklyn, or as a band, you started in Brooklyn,
yeah,
and
yeah,
moved to
yeah,
Philly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, as a band, we started in Brooklyn. That both Tommy and Greg still live in Brooklyn, and me and Derek moved to Philly.
This is the first time, actually, we've had another Derek on the show, so I'm kind of...
It's going to be confusing.
No, it's good. I'm all right with it. I think there needs to be more Derek's in the world, so... There's actually... I did a post a while back about songs that are named about like for Derek after the Coat Hangers. You know what's funny though is when the Coat Hangers put out that mm-hmm. song, they come up in a lot of related searches for you,
really?
I think, because of the name. Yeah, and it's just like punk rock, and there's like that.
That's funny.
But wow. I think the best one is I'm just like going off on a tangent right now. But Peter Jackson did that. What was that classic horror movie?
The
his first
Peebles?
Horror? No,
the zombie thing.
Oh.
And he plays.
Oh wait, is
Derek.
That the Brain Dead one?
Yeah, yeah.
Dead Alive, yeah.
Dead Alive.
And Dead Alive.
They kill the guy
awesome.
With the lawnmower. I run him over, and it just like
it's so good.
And it like starts with the opening scene with like a shotgun blast to like a, you know, it's like
oh, like an Aborigines guy's face or something.
Yeah, and but he plays a Derek in that movie, and Bloodduster, this old punk band, did a song with that as the sample. So anyway, that's my Derek story. Does anyone else have a good Derek story?
My cousin Derek shreds.
guitar.
It's mine.
I really like the Jim and Derek episode of Tim and Eric. Ah. That's one of my favorites.
I did see, I saw Eric did an open letter to Tim Heidecker today. I didn't read it, though. Everyone's doing an open letter. I think that
just
was kind of...
pull it up. I'd love to hear it.
That's, it's good that you guys both said it, because it's Steven Theo from Oblove. I've got everything written down, so I can remember everyone's names. So now, I do have to, I'm going to direct this to, where are you from? Where's Oblove from?
We're from half Boston, half Connecticut.
All right.
Hey, Derek. So they can't hear me right now, but tell Steve to talk into the mic.
Okay. Joe just said he can't. He said to talk into the mic.
Is this better?
I think that's better. Yes, he's giving a thumbs up.
Oh, all of us?
Well, I think your side was... I could hear it all right.
Okay.
Oh, we're just talking to the... people at home don't know what's going on. so I was going to gear this to that half of the room. I have to be very blunt, and this, exploding in sound, I think you guys might want to weigh on this. I do not like Boston at all. I'm just going to throw that out there to you guys. And I know that you guys are, like, wow, Boston-centric.
There's so many good bands from Boston.
And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because you guys have tapped into something that is both kind of awesome in the bands that you guys are, like, bringing to the world. And also, I think, shining a little bit of a different light I think why I don't like Boston is mainly because of the sports teams that I don't like, but also that's just kind of the vibe it's given me when I go there, just kind of like angry Anglo-Saxons. Is that kind
of see that? That's like
it's not
too far off,
And then you've got Tom Brady, who's like this Republican, chiseled chin guy, and it's just like that's not
I don't know. Tom Brady and, like, going to see a band in a basement is, like, a very far stretch from each other.
I actually saw Tom Brady at a basement show one time.
was he wearing...
he asked for my autograph. It was sweet.
Was he wearing Uggs?
He was wearing his Uggs, yeah.
Him and Giselle were big fans of Fat History Month.
Yeah. He was wearing a Steve shirt.
So how did the okay... So obviously Boston has a pretty prevalent music scene, and it's obviously been growing with the with Exploding in Sound, but also the exposure that a lot of the bands that are coming from that area are getting. I guess this is a really generic question, but how did you guys just be like, we need to start accumulating this, like in label/ blog form?
It was like all our favorite bands. All our favorite bands, were all local bands, and it just seemed like, people could continue releasing their albums on Bandcamp and nobody hearing it, or you could do, a proper release and, try to get people to hear it.
Did you guys have experience in running a label prior?
No.
Come on. What were we just talking about out there?
It's far from running a label.
Oh, running, right. Sorry, I misunderstood.
Yeah, I used to intern at a major label, and I really hated it.
Major label.
We're both music industry students.
But that's how most music or independent music companies start. Because you get into a situation where you're working for a company and you're like, well, shit, I could do this better. Or I like music that is better than this. Or, I just want to be involved in music that has nothing
like
to do with it.
Music
this.
And, all these people are just about that, dollar.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like we should have an Aloe Black song right now. No, dollar. Anyway. So I'm going to turn back to Hunters. I'm just going to, again, for the people at home that cannot see what I'm trying to talk to nine people at once. So Hunters, Izzy, this has to be, I don't know if it's slightly uncomfortable or kind of the norm, but you're the only female in here, which is kind of rare for our radio show. We actually have a lot of female musicians that come through here. So is this kind of
I'm actually used to it because I go on tour with just all guys. So every time, whenever we tour with a band that there's girls, I kind of get really excited because it's usually all guys. But I get along with guys, so I don't mind.
Is that difficult on a... not... what's the word I'm looking for? Just kind of Nah, not by a lot. Schematic or there's things involved that
it's
hotels or I guess you and Derek are a couple, so you guys probably,
But I usually get outvoted on things. They always want to do something that I don't want to do and end up having to do. But it's over there, you know what I mean? It's okay.
It's very vague, yeah. As an example, Tom, Greg, and Derek voted to visit the Pez Factory Museum in Connecticut, and Izzy was not into it.
Oh, really? See,
okay, but I'm from Brazil, so I didn't have Pez. So for me, it was just really boring.
We were on our way to Boston. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It
together.
Is one of the most boring places you could ever go.
Like, we got excited, though.
You had to pay to go in, room. And then we were in, like, okay, they paid for me to go in. They wanted me to go in so bad. They're like, I'll pay your ticket. And I was like, okay, and it's cool.
How much does it cost to see the Pez?
Yeah, yeah, what is the cost?
Like $2.
No, it's not. It's like $10.
No.
I would have paid $2.
It's like as much as a Pez.
You get free Pez.
To be honest, after I was there, it's kind of cute, but like for 2 minutes, and then it's...
I don't need to go back.
Yeah. It's the kind of place you only need to go once.
Check it off the bucket list now.
Yeah. So it's not like Sun Records. You can't like give them a t-shirt and they'll give you the free tour or something like that.
No, I don't think so.
Every time I've gone to like Sun, they'll be like, come and take the tour. And you're like, we're in a rush, you know. It's like, and then they'll be like, do you have a t-shirt? And we're like, yeah, like give it to us and you can just do it for free. So,
that's nice. But I actually love them and it's great because I feel like they're really patient.
Oh yeah, yeah, so I think everyone knows that you guys
have to throw balance out.
Yeah, yeah. I think most people know that band interactions are a love-hate relationship, especially when on the road. Like, it's just like, I mean, you guys, I think it's interesting that you guys are a couple, not trying to call it out, but I think that's the one thing people don't think about. They think about like, oh, it's a couple in a band. But then it's like, you know, if I was around my girlfriend on the road all the time, that's inevitably when we probably would argue the most. So maybe I should direct this to the other guys in the band.
Yeah, that's probably better.
is that an okay dynamic in the tour van?
Yeah, we just roll up the separation glass. Like, put our headphones.
They
on.
Have like this big piece of cardboard that they put on. I don't want to hear it anymore.
No, it's actually great. They're totally just react like a band the whole time.
This is the PC. Really, PC edition. I'm trying to get the dirt, yeah, man.
They have to be with us the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's true. They still got... How many shows are you guys playing tonight?
No, just one.
Just the one. Just one. I think, yeah, here, I'll pull this just a little closer, just because...
What?
I can tell Joe turned it up, because I'm getting him late. He's listening.
And I'm trying to be a good engineer in here, but you know,
no one can hear you. No one, only the listeners and me.
Only
can
you're
hear
the
you.
You're the only one who has headphones on.
He's
so
talking right now. So, and then the other workhorse of I guess we just moved the mic over in front of Daryl from Speedy Ortiz.
Sort of in front of him.
So yeah. I have to start a question. Okay, here's the question I have for you.
Sure.
And I hope you don't take this in the wrong way.
No, he will.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, well, yeah.
Are you tired of the band name question, like having to explain where it came from or anything like that?
No.
I
that was the like least what,
well I, no I was just gonna say I can't go
it really is not bad. It came from a comic book. It's a good comic book.
I can't go through a day talking about you guys without once slipping up and saying Speedy Gonzalez.
Really?
Yeah. I said it before you guys came in, actually. And I think
it's pretty good. That's better than Speedy Ortiz or Shitty Orbits or any of those.
Orbits. That's who.
That's not even clever.
Yeah.
What?
That's not even clever.
What, Shitty Orbits?
Yeah.
Oh, people have said it.
I would have said like Slow Rodriguez or something, right?
Into the microphone. Oh,
Slow Rodriguez.
Yes. Oh, come on.
It worked out pretty well. There was no. I was gonna say, wasn't there like a? There was like an antithesis to Speedy Gonzalez, wasn't there?
Yeah.
I think there was
Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I missed the poke.
Yeah.
That was the just his cousin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. They really stretched the limits of their creativity there. They're like, all right, we've already got the like semi-racist cartoon. Where can we go with this?
Yeah.
Well, he can have a cousin that's slow. I don't know. But you guys are also one of the workhorses. Is it? It's one of those things I feel like you kind of everyone, not everyone, but at some point you kind of have to do the like, we're going to play 10 shows while we're here. And is it kind of like you guys want to do that? Or is it kind of like you just keep getting asked and you're like, this is a good show. We want, let's do it.
I guess I'll answer that by saying luckily like half of our shows got canceled. So I it feels better that way. But I guess it was sort of, we were supposed to. I don't really know. It's like shows we get canceled and we got added on to ones like yesterday even. So It's kind of all up in the air.
CMJ is very well organized.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with CMJ because everyone, like...
If you want some dirt, talk to Dan about CMJ.
Was it your... Did your showcase get screwed?
Oh, no, ours is fine. Ours, Saturday, we're doing an unofficial one.
But it's unofficial. Did you have an official one? Is that what you're trying to hint at?
I was just joking around. For this side of the room only, I guess.
Well, I don't necessarily... I don't hate on CMJ because of the sheer fact that, like, in comparison to something like South by Southwest, it is so much less whoremongering that I kind of see it in a little bit purer form. And maybe that's maybe a wrong way of looking at it because you guys are all, you know, working versus, you know, kind of just beyond the peripheral. Would you guys agree or just is it kind of... I mean, I guess nothing compares to South by Southwest. That's just kind of...
Never been to South by Southwest.
Well, it's like less of a mess than South by Southwest, but I still feel like it's the same way in that, like, the audience is very, like, industry centric as opposed to, like, fans who just want to come out and see a show. Mm-hmm. It's
yeah, I think that's
you see everyone's taking notes and shit.
I think that's the, well, we were talking about that earlier. That's the divide of, I think, the official and unofficial. You know, we were talking earlier about how at the Oh My Rockness show, which Oh My Rockness, great people, I love them. But they did an official show, and it was a lot of industry people that were there. And then, you know, you Give Me Tonight a show, which also great people, love them as well. Theirs was unofficial, and it was just like a little bit more raucous, I guess. But then you know, apples and oranges, you know, Cameo and Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
Sure.
So. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Which one? What was it? What?
No visual humor,
Yeah, I know. That yeah.
You gotta describe that.
No, that's for the...
We'll just put it this way. $2 cans of beer, $5 highlight.
Right.
You know, like, wait.
Smoking weed at the venue.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Herbal substances that are...
He was talking about
glaucoma,
Cameo Gallery.
Water pipes.
So, Brazil.
Yes.
Have you gone there? Are you planning on going there?
Yeah, actually, we're going in December for Christmas and
to,
New Year's.
To
yeah.
play? Or no, just as a trip?
Yeah.
I'm assuming you're from there, so you've been
there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, were you born here? But then you have an accent, so it's kind of clear.
Yeah, no, I have family there.
Yeah. And Derek, you have never?
No, I've never.
And where in Brazil are you from?
Rio.
Ah, see, I've never been to Rio. That's like the crazy part,
it's kind
right?
of intense, yeah, but I'm excited. I haven't been there, like, for Christmas and stuff in 10 years.
Yeah. So, did you come here with family, or did you just kind of...
Yeah, when I was younger, my family moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And then we were, like, on the witness protection. I'm joking.
But what's the Pee Wee's... Where did he go to see his bike? In the basement of the...
Oh,
Elmo.
In the basement of the
Elmo.
So we lived there for, like, a year or two. And then when we moved back to Brazil, I was just not into it. So then as soon as I could, I moved back. But then I moved to New York.
I've been to Sao Paulo once. That was the extent of my Brazilian vacation. But it was awesome.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
I feel like Sao Paulo is, like, a bootleg New York. And Rio is, like... kind of like LA.
Yeah, I was going to say Miami, but I can see that as well.
Yeah, I guess more Miami, actually. Yeah. You're right.
So are you, and then that's how we separated the room. We have the Boston side and then the Brazilian side.
We're not even, like, from Boston at all. I don't know why.
Now you're defending it.
No, we're not even from Boston. You're outside of Boston.
He's from where Louis C.K. is from.
He goes to school in Boston. We're from Connecticut, though.
Oh, which
is not something I should even, like, gloat about. I hate Connecticut, absolutely. And, like, we're from Connecticut. So,
but see, it's interesting, because you guys also very, very Anglo-Saxon, but not as angry and kind of... See, I think... I don't like it.
I was just defending because I heard your opinion on Boston was all, so I just didn't want to clarify.
No,
you gotta keep the sport. You gotta keep the sports and the music separate.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, if we were to go down that route, this is the other reason, which I didn't want to really get into it, but I grew up... I'm slightly older than all of you. And
is this going to be Aerosmith? No.
Actually, that doesn't, you know, or was Boston was from Boston, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Oh. Not just a clever name.
Yeah. But I grew up in the hardcore scene, and there was a lot of good stuff that came out of Boston, but there was also a high contingency of, like, racist hardcore that came out of Boston, which was something that kind of, that was always like, that's kind of what I... tie it into.
You associate Boston with racism.
Yeah, maybe it's, I mean,
let that go.
I know. I didn't mean to take it seriously. I just kind of want to put you guys on the hot seat.
Well, we take it
know?
Very seriously. Yeah, I know.
Well, you guys are repping New England. I go camping in the Green Forest and stuff like that. I'm cool with New England.
It's nice. The people, not so much, but the trees are very nice.
Trees aren't racist.
There's no racist trees in Boston. At least that we know
There's
of.
There's like three different cities in Boston, if you think about it. There's like the college kids, the people that have been there forever, and the people that are, I don't know, playing in bands and putting on awesome basement shows. Like,
yeah.
There's like many things to hate about it, but to love.
Well, let's talk about then that you mentioned basement shows a couple times. Have you guys been at shows that were raided by the police?
No, but...
Once, yeah.
Well, I remember that whole story was going around circulating.
There was never any, like, raids. There was things like a few friends of mine lived at the shows that were putting on some of the, like, or lived at the houses that were doing the shows, and,
Speedy was supposed to play that show, weren't you? The one that, like, the big Joe Sly thing?
Yeah, they got a tip that, like...
That was the one that, like...
Was the hot concert.
Got it out there.
Well, I was at a couple of shows where the cops showed up, but it was never a big deal at all. They just,
they're just hanging
come in
out.
With the flashlight, and they're like, all right, guys, it's over.
No, like, there was, like, someone... I don't know. This, like, at the Hen House got shut down, like, before... Like, the night before they had a show, there was, a little, like, crayon-written note on their door that said... To not have the show, or they'll be evicted. Anonymous. It was literally signed. It was like, had to be like. It wasn't from a cop, obviously. It was like I don't know, from someone that knew that like, the cops were aware of the show they were having that night. And
that's and you guys got the tip. That's pretty nice of them, actually. That's like
I took it as like that person.
Either that, or they had vested interest in the house, and they're like, I don't want to throw a show.
Well, it's just weird. Like, how would they know in the first place? I don't say they were like the person. Like, there had to have been someone like tipping someone off, like for some of the situations. Right, that's what I mean. Right. It's like, so it was like someone that was like within the scene, kind of, but maybe they had like a record they were trying to erase or something. Or, but I don't know. This is my paranoia that comes from smoking.
I understand.
It's
I
also understand. Like what else could have happened in some situations. It's really weird.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then, you know, like we have the weird fortunate, I don't know what to consider it, that here in Brooklyn where everyone and their grandmother knows about these DIY venues and somehow nothing ever happens. And I'm glad, and I don't want, you know, I hope that doesn't, you know, get out to ears that can do. But it is kind of, it's very interesting that either you're in a place where it seems like they're actively trying to find it as though it's like breeding something other than just like a
There's
great community.
Like websites for the places here that you can anyone can go.
Right,
and see.
Right.
Yeah.
So how is it? Awesome. How is it not to disclude the other two members of Hunters? But how is it in Philly?
There's way more house shows, obviously, but it just kind of moves around. I feel like it's probably the same as it is up there. It's just there was houses for a while, and then eventually, like, they get shut down and they move somewhere else and.
They seem to be as, like, secretive about it.
Yeah, and they do it in a really great way. So it's like, you always kind of know when there's shows going on, but it's not like they have, like, some big thing.
Yeah,
like, this is, you know, they don't have, like, a website for, you know, like, there was this place, Cloud City. They didn't have, like, that's long gone, so.
Is Cloud City gone?
Yeah.
Wow, man. And Dangerous.
It was a bummer. It was really fun.
It was
a really fun
place,
too. That dude, Tim or Jim, what was his name?
I think Tim.
Tim, okay. I always called him Jim. He's an awesome dude. Yeah.
That's right. My computer's been on sleep, and now I can't remember anyone's name, so it's all right.
Yeah, totally. But, like, things move around.
And what is Danger? Is that still around, or is that gone as well?
I don't think that's around.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, but I think there's always, like, a rotating, you know, bunch of places. But, yeah, I mean, we were going to play at some place in Boston, and it got shut down, so we had to play at some, like, bar's basement instead.
Radio.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, it was my fault, but sorry.
It's pretty much, within this, like, past year and a half or so, everything's just been gone. It's so drastically different. That used to be, the go-to place to book shows for it. Even people that were asking, like, in Connecticut, it was like, you might as well just go to Boston and play, like, one of the best shows you'll ever play in someone's basement. And get as much as you, maybe even more than you would from an actual bar, from just donations from people and stuff. So it's like really unfortunate that I don't know. The reasons the shows got shut down, the reasons the shows got shut down altogether is just absolutely ridiculous. Like, it was never because of the show. It was like people like peeing on houses on the side, like not even like related to the show. Like, so
that's usually how it goes. It's usually someone that's, you know. Someone's drinking or smoking or doing something that they shouldn't be doing. It's just an excuse for people to to wade in. Well, now that we've hit that happy topic of shows closing down, this is actually the moment in the show where we'll take a little bit of a break. This is the musical interlude, because normally when we have a show, we have music and news, and then we play the music to preview. That's not the right word. I'm having a hard time with words today. Segue is, yeah, I use that one a lot. I get yelled at a lot for breaking down the fourth wall. But so we're going to start this off with Hunter's Narcissist, and then we're going to go into a little bit of the Exploding and Sound catalog, which I have up, but I haven't decided which we're going to play next, so I can't let people know what's coming up. But
keep it secretive.
We will, and then we'll tell them what it is after the fact. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
best friend is a parrot, and I say things that he don't mind, so he say things that he don't mind. Tattooed and on merit, my best friend is a parrot, and I say things that he don't mind, yeah, he say things that he don't mind. Set some knuckle space away. Thank you.
right, we're back. No one in the room knows. I'm the only one wearing headphones. But we're back. I'm going to try to rip through this really quick, see if I get this right. Oh.
Hurry.
Did someone cut that off? I hope Joe cut that off, because I don't know what's going on.
I'm a professional.
You are a professional. We have we played Narcissist by Hunters, and then after that we played New Punk by Avlov. Then we played Pet Carrot by Palehound. Then we played Tiger Tank by Speedy Ortiz. And lastly, we played Prom Song from Pile. So, the one common thread, though, between all of that, aside from the Boston segment of this side of the room, which we've hammered, I think, enough, there's a heavy thread of, like, 90s homage running through a lot of these bands. And as someone who is at least 40 or 50 years older than you guys, I went through the 90s, and I find that it's both endearing, because that was what I grew up on, but then I have to hold myself from being that old man that's like, ah, this just sounds like fill-in-the-blank band. Do you guys find that, like, I guess this comes up with every generation, you know, the last generation had to, like, fight off, like, 80s influence or something like that, but do you guys find that it is of any kind of consequence at all? Do you guys feel like, you know, that kind of becomes, like, a crutch for bad music writers to say, like, oh, they're just channeling the 90s, or are you guys excited about the fact that, like, you're influenced about music that, you know, influenced a lot of people? Steve wants to say something.
I think it's, give them both mics.
I think it's very great, yeah, as much as it is annoying,
because it's very obvious that we're into those bands, but at the same time, is it not just as obvious that all those bands were into bands that sounded like them from the 70s? You know what I mean? It just happens every time. Someone's just always getting influenced from something they heard before. You know, it's not like I discovered Distortion and now I sound like Nirvana because I play power chords with them.
Because the 90s was the last time people remember listening to guitar bands, I think.
Yeah,
totally.
I think that has a lot to do with it. I also think, we were talking about this earlier, is like, does the cycle ever close? Like, will the cycle of rock music ever close? For instance, meaning that, like, okay, if everything kind of, like, looks back 20 years, at what point does it just stop looking backwards? That's very, I'm like, going way on an intellectual tangent here. I guess that, maybe not intellectual. I don't want to make myself sound smarter than anyone. Like, at what point will rock music kind of be like, this is maybe a bad thing to say in a room full of rock musicians, but at what point does like rock, and I'm a rock guy, I'm just throwing out, but at what point does that become like classical music or jazz or something like that, where it's like, it still exists, but it's not in the common thread of like the cyclical, you know?
But I think like the cyclical like thing of it doesn't come necessarily from like the industry moving that way. It's because like those people growing up, that's what they were listening to, so that's why they're influenced by that. And if that takes like 20 years to pan out each time, you know.
So you guys grew up listening to that? I mean, you guys had to been like babies at that time, though, no?
Yeah, but when you're a baby, you're watching what everybody else is watching, so then when you become a teenager, you start checking that out too, because you want to know like what they were doing before.
Darryl, you sound like you look like you have something to
say. I was just going to say that was like the annoying question I thought you were going to ask before. but I also think Napster probably helped out a lot with discovering those bands and stuff like that.
Right.
Because then you don't have to spend the money you don't have when you're a teenager
you can just check
on that kind of stuff. So you're kind of like, oh, I'll take a risk on that or whatever.
See, as someone from the 90s, totally, we didn't have that luxury. So, you know, for every Nirvana you had like, you know, I don't know.
Letters to Cleo.
Yeah, Candlebox is actually where I was going with that.
It's like listening to Led Zeppelin on the radio or whatever it was 20 years before.
I don't know.
It's true.
Yeah.
So we've been joined here in the late stages of the show by Ellen and Max of Palehound. Thank you guys for coming by. I'm glad we could make this a more festive situation. I didn't mean to take the conversation very on the I don't know. It got kind of quiet there for a minute.
Didn't you mean to?
I mean, I always like to ask questions that kind of will make people think, but I don't want you to not talk. So I guess
so
I gotta go.
Ask this kid what he thinks.
Yeah. Steve is pointing to there's a mother and a son eating in the table directly in front of us in the glass bowl. But the interesting thing about this, we mentioned this while you guys were all out during that break, the waitress is wearing a shirt that's just all marijuana leaves on it, which normally would be like you're in Brooklyn, no big deal. But like, yeah, it's kind of it's kind of funny because she's serving a mother and her son.
Sure, it's
the mother has like a low cut top on, so that's weird too.
I mean, I don't want to get in trouble, but you know,
they look pretty high.
She's
anyway.
She's kind of she's kind of milfy.
I have this broadcast in there.
Hello. Can they can.
Oh, they can hear us. Yeah. That's the question. That's the question everyone asked. That's $1 million question.
Are they talking about us right
can now? They see us? Yeah, I mentioned this earlier when Destruction Unit was here. Someone put up on the wall, just wrote a note and said, "Are you important?" And that was, and like everyone just shook their head. I was like, "No, no, we're not." We did have someone. Eugene Merman was here. Someone did take a picture through. That was the only time that's ever happened. So. I feel like, I was saying this earlier, I feel like we should get in kind of the promotional mode of the show as we're trying to wrap up here. Everyone's like, eh. But I mean, in the sense that the show is live now, it will go up on Impos and iTunes tomorrow, so we might as well just say the shows that you guys are playing.
Tomorrow.
Or tonight. For anyone that may be listening. For the person listening. My girlfriend. Hi. No. Hunters, you guys are playing tonight at the Flat. That's the SHOT Showcase, correct?
Yes.
And then where are you guys the rest of the weekend? I know you said you have Friday off.
285 Kent tomorrow night.
And then Baltimore Friday. And then Saturday at Much More's. Then Cake Shop. And then Fontana.
Fantastic. You're cheating now.
Well, that's what you need to do.
He's a professional. You know, man.
By cheating, he's saying he's looking at his schedule, which is what, you know.
Because I need to know where I'm going to show up to play the show.
She's like, you don't want me to show up anywhere. And then we'll just move on down the row.
Okay. Thursday, we're playing the Panache Showcase at 285 Kent. And then Brooklyn Vegan Showcase is somewhere in East Williamsburg.
Yeah, have they announced that yet?
Have they? I don't know.
I don't know.
All I heard was East Williamsburg, which I guess doesn't sound far from other shows.
It means Bushwick in real estate terms.
Okay, cool. Well, if it's at 285 Kent, that'd be fabulous because the Pitchfork Showcase is also at 285 Kent.
So
I would love to never leave. And then Exploding Sound is on Saturday.
Yeah,
at Silent Barn.
I wanted to get to that, Exploring the Sound. You guys have a really sick showcase, but it starts at a weird time. It starts at like 3. What's
it's
up with
that? Not
that
weird. There's 11 bands to play.
It goes to normal time.
It's Saturday, too. It starts at 4.
It is.
Doors at 3.
I don't know if anyone can hear it just because he's so far away from it. But Dan from Exploring the Sound said, doors are at 3, yeah. Show starts at 4.
I can walk over there. And we recommend getting there early.
It's a stacked bill at a place that I have a feeling will fill up very quickly. And when I say that, I mean it's a very connecting type of vibe. Familiar.
There's like a good chance
community.
If you like one of the bands, you like the other 10 playing.
Right. Yep. And it also pays. I think it goes hand in hand with the venue as well. That's kind of what I was going to
say. Yeah, I want a haircut.
And yeah, if you want a haircut from your man Brandon,
exactly,
who goes by DJ Marty McSorley. So if you're a hockey fan, Marty McSorley.
I'm getting a haircut.
Yeah, I'm getting a haircut from Carlos.
What's up, real hair?
New dude before the set. Sorry, Avlov.
Yeah, Avlov. Where are you guys playing?
We're gonna play in Dan's living room in 2 hours. Grand Victory tomorrow night. I don't know what time.
That's Thursday for anyone that may be listening tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow is Thursday, October 17th.
17th, yeah.
At 8 o'clock. And then we play at the Exploding Sound.
And Palehound.
We are playing tomorrow, Thursday, at the Audio Femme Showcase at Spike Hill at 4 o'clock. And then on Friday at the Deli Mag Showcase at Pianos at 7:45. And then Saturday at the Exploding Sound Showcase.
Nice.
Woo! Woo!
Well, guys, I don't know how. I think that we've taken it right through to 48 minutes. It was probably longer than
perfect
that.
Album.
But yeah, this was an LP. But I want to say this was one of the most fun shows, even though I maybe asked one, maybe two annoying questions. I hope you guys all stay adequately hydrated and have a very successful weekend. I know that sounds kind of, you know, because you guys are all in it for the fun.
Cheers.
But, you know, it's all about business too, you know. This is where checks get written, right?
No.
Oh, so many. So many.
Let's give ourselves a round of applause. Yay!
Thank you to Hunters. Thank you to Outlaw. Thank you to Speedy Ortiz. Thank you to Exploding and Sound, Palhound. Guys, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you to Derek.
All right.
Enjoy your pizza.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.